As 2022 is coming to a close, you may be reflecting on what you've learned and how you've grown. It might be easiest to think of visible victories and milestones, like getting a new job, moving to a new city, starting or deepening a friendship or relationship, learning a new skill, and it might be harder to recognize or celebrate unseen victories.
In this episode, we'll go ahead and ask each other about those unseen victories and celebrate them together. And hopefully you all can take some inspiration and reflect on your unseen victories from this last year. Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we discover abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. I'm Tan.
And I'm Sophia.
What gave you the idea for this episode?
Yeah, as I was reflecting on my year, I feel lighter and more confident for reasons that are hard to explain to other people. There are a lot of challenges that I overcame that are nuanced or that are very internal and don't have an external manifestation, or challenges that are just hard to explain to other people. And I figured this podcast is the perfect way for us to reflect on these unseen victories.
I'm really excited that we'll get a chance to dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that maybe we've talked about in personal conversations, but things that we get to compile into something that we celebrate about one another. And I really hope that our listeners are able to kind of take some of these prompts that we have here, kind of reminiscent of our Reflect With Us episode, the very first episode we had this year, and take some time to give yourself a pat on the back, because there are a lot of things that you probably might not realize you might be taking for granted, but are a big testament to your strength and your growth and just this year for you. I'm going to start off by asking you the question, Sophia. Is there anything that you've acknowledged to be outside of your control this year?
A big one is my parents' understanding of my life. I used to put so much effort into explaining things to them, helping them to get on the same page, which is all really, you know, good things that I'm really happy that I put effort into. But it got to a point where I was putting so much effort and not seeing a lot of results. And it just hit me that I have done enough. I've done a good enough job. And there are just things that take time for parents to accept. In the same way that there are things that are hard for us to accept, there are things that are hard for our parents to accept. And just because they haven't accepted it doesn't mean that I haven't tried hard enough. I think I've tried hard enough. I deserve to believe that I've tried hard enough, and I don't need to beat myself up for not continuing to try more.
Do you feel like as you grew up that you and your parents were aligned on a lot of things, and so they had a really good understanding of your life before, and so when it started to diverge, you immediately chose to put in a lot of effort to get them to understand?
I would say there's never been a ton of understanding, just so many differences with like culture and their understanding of what it's like to grow up in the U.S. But there were just a couple events or decisions that I had to make this year that I would really want their support and understanding of. And I worked very hard and worked many years towards that support and didn't fully achieve what I thought I was going to achieve. But I realized that, you know, they're my parents. They love me and have so much concern for me. And I've tried hard enough to get them to understand my side of things.
I feel like you've really come to be at peace with the differences and know that that doesn't change the love you have for each other. And so that's so incredible to hear. And so thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. And again, one of these things that is totally unseen. I don't think anyone sees the struggle that I have and the conversations that I have with them, but it's something that I'm very proud of.
Yes. Actually, even from my end, I didn't know about a lot of those unseen struggles even and challenges until I went and visited you in Seattle. And that's when I realized, it's been years of even just trying to get aligned on one decision. And so even that little insight that I got to see, I understand how big of a deal it is that you've chosen to let go and realize that those things are outside of your control and be at peace with it.
Similar flavor of question, but slightly different. Is there anything you've finally taken control of this year?
I would say something that I've finally taken control of this year is listening to my body. And I don't mean in like an intuition, like spiritual sense, like literally just listening to my body when it feels upset. I've always been a very prideful person when it comes to eating whatever I want. I always love eating a lot of spicy foods. I felt invincible. I ate a lot. I love dairy. I love cheese. I love all those things. And in the last couple of years, maybe I've made a couple extra trips to the bathroom than I'd like to admit. And I think I realized this year that maybe I'm kind of abusing my body by not taking time to listen to it. And so I've
Are you lactose intolerant?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not even know, because I've seen you eat a lot of dairy.
Yep, exactly. And I think I can handle to a certain extent. Like, I've never been the person to take like lactate pills or whatever before eating a meal. But I have been trying to be a lot more mindful of my body signals. And so it's like, if it feels upset about something, then don't eat a really heavy meal later in the day is what I'm trying to go for, instead of just giving into cravings really quickly. So that's something that no one would see, especially during a pandemic where we're working remotely and everything. So that's something that I would like to celebrate. I am being kind to my body.
It's so great that your body is feeling healthier more of the time.
Yeah. Is there an area of life that's historically been neglected that you've tended to this year? So kind of like, I guess this flavor of like nurturing, being nurturing and caring for it.
What a great question. For me, didn't even have to think. First answer that comes to my mind is exercise. And I alluded to this in my medical leave episode about taking a couple weeks away from work, and how during that time, I realized that I wanted to spend time on things that other people cannot take away from me. And the best form of that to me is exercise. Like, if I'm feeling upset, if I'm feeling a lot of big feelings, if I'm feeling really stressed, you know, instead of thinking about it and ruminating on it and sitting in my bed and scrolling on TikTok, I deal with those emotions and I just go sweat it out. And it's also one of those things where like every minute that I put into exercise, I get to reap the rewards of, which is there's not many things in life where that's the case, right? You put a day, a week, a year into work, you can't really guarantee the outcome. You know, people can twist the narrative of your career. People can steal your projects. You know, there are so many things out of your control, but with health, it's like, this is all for me.
I love that. Did you try any sort of new form of exercise that you got to really enjoy this year?
I just keep it super simple. I just go on the treadmill and listen to podcasts and just walk. I don't even like running. I don't like being out of breath. I just like walking. Just keep it simple. As long as like, it's all about going, you know, if I go,
it's all about moving.
It's all about moving. Right. Stay moving. It doesn't matter how fast I'm moving, how much I'm sweating. Just as long as I'm moving, I'm good.
Definitely.
Okay. Next question for you. What is the best support you've received this year?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about this answer until you asked this question. I'm honestly really thankful for my parents. Financially, things were really challenging this year. And maybe that just comes with the territory of working in Hollywood. And it was such a sudden shift for me after having worked an office job for a couple years that I think a lot of our money transactions have become subtler with each new technological advance. Like, it used to be handing over bills and you see like physically how many bills you're handing over, and then it turned into swiping cards, and now you can just tap your phone so you don't even take out a credit card. And so I feel like it can be so easy for money to slip away from you without you even realizing. And I definitely felt that with loads of money leaving my account for school. And I think I just thought, oh, this is an investment. Like, this is fine. This is important. Like, I will reap the benefits. But it's like, yes, you will reap the long-term benefits, but like, what are you going to do about now? And so I think that was really challenging, to have money be a really big factor in a lot of passion career decisions that I was making. And so that was also just really hard to open up to my parents about, because they are very money conscious too, to the point that it was really suffocating for me when I was growing up. And so I tried my very best to be very ignorant of my money, actually. And so when I finally had shared with them a lot of different instances of like, even just my laptop, is the keyboard's not working properly and it's like shutting down sporadically, and I feel like I'm just gonna have to live like this until for like the rest of the year. And then for them to say, what if we just bought you that laptop? Like, to kind of receive their financial support, especially when I'm 27 years old and feel like I shouldn't be at the age. That's a story I tell myself. I shouldn't be at the age where I am receiving financial support from my parents. Mm-hmm. It should be the other way around, actually. Like, I should be giving back to my parents for raising me for 18, 20 years of my life. Mm-hmm. It's support that I am incredibly, incredibly grateful for. And I'm their only child, so I'm their favorite child. So I'm really thankful that they want to shower me with a lot of love and support in that sense.
Yeah. From your parents' perspective too, it might be nice for them to feel like they can care for you and mm-hmm. support you even when they're so physically far away and they haven't seen mm-hmm. you. So
yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah. so sweet. I just want to take a moment too and celebrate how great of a supporter you are financially too.
Thank you. Oh,
like
okay.
every like Kickstarter I've done, you've always donated a lot of money, and it's not like I've ever asked you to, and you just do it because you want to help your friend, and I'm sure you do that for a lot of other people.
And I know it's going to be a great project, and
yeah,
I want to
and
see
so
it happen.
That's like amazing support, and I don't know if you feel the weight of that when you just like click a button and like it leaves your account and goes into this mm-hmm. campaign, but it like means a lot to those people. So Sophia, what's something in your life that you're taking your time on?
I don't think I like taking my time on anything.
Really?
What do you think?
I feel like you take your time with reading, like to make sure you reap as much as you can and like really fully understand things and what they're saying.
Ah, I thought it was like a life decision that I'm taking my time making. Okay, I see. Oh,
it doesn't
have to be so big. Okay.
Yeah. Literally, it could even be that you're walking more slowly and you're taking your time walking.
Yeah. I think I'm taking my time on spending time with myself. This year, for a variety of reasons, like I was really, really sick for a couple months. And then just other things happened that made me kind of just want to hide away from all of my friends. But I've actually really enjoyed just closing my laptop at 6 and then being by myself and not talking to anyone. I kind of like it. Just taking my time, like watching my K-dramas and making dinner really slowly. I think this was a year where it was impossible to rush the things that I wanted to rush. And so it just forced me to slow my entire life down a little bit just because there were so many things outside of my control.
Do you feel like it inspires you to take your time on some of those, like, I guess, big life decisions that you were alluding to earlier for next year, maybe?
There are some decisions that I don't really have a choice in the time, but other decisions where if I do have a choice in the time, I'm like, life is so non-linear. Like I mm-hmm. want to feel good about the big decisions that I'm making, and those decisions aren't going anywhere, right? Like there's mm-hmm. really like the timelines, some of them are quite artificial and self-determined.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
Ooh, okay. Let's switch it up a little bit and both answer this question. In regards to podcasting, which episode from 2022 would your 2021 self be most surprised by?
Gotta pull it up. Gotta look.
Gotta
more
pull
episodes.
It up. So many episodes. Did you know we have over 200? OMG.
Well, as a general theme, I think it's surprising that we've had so much fewer guests compared to previous years. That would definitely be surprising to 2021 me, because I would have thought like, oh, a successful podcast, like you continue to like level up the name prestige of your guests or whatever that means. Because it was like, oh, 2020, mainly our friends. 2021, we took some leaps of faith to reach out to some folks. Let's up that number in 2022 would have been the thinking in 2021, I think. So I think having so many episodes that we just did between the two of us is really surprising. And they're really quality episodes too.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite episode between us?
I love how to enjoy reading fiction and nonfiction, because that really showcases our very different interests and what we could learn from each other. And I think about the tips you gave around nonfiction all the time. Yeah, because I just ran out of time to finish this book that I was reading. And I was like, you know what? Sophia That's says fine. You don't need to finish a book to say you finished it and that you're done reading it. So I'm saying that I'm done reading it, and I added it to my list of books that I read in 2022.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, books that I read. As long as you read a couple pages and got the general gist, you read the book. You don't need to finish
it. Exactly.
The book.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by the episode about personal finance, the $1,000 fine that kickstarted my personal finance journey,
That was a very spontaneous episode.
Yeah, we had it on our bucket list or our plan, you know, to talk about personal finance. And we had some ideas for friends we wanted to reach out to. Did not realize that I went through some pretty wild things. And then in a weekend, just sat myself down and was like, I need to learn all these things. And then ended up making an episode about it. And then afterwards, you sent me the sweetest message. You were like, Sophia, this is so good. Like, it's so informative. And then we ended up doing a call together.
Fun fact, I had a coaching session with this coach, Sophia's son. And she walked me through so many things. So if you want a consulting session with Sophia, make sure you pay her for her labor.
Maybe
she would consider doing it. I will be the first testimonial.
Oh my gosh, yes. Tan got me an amazing gift card for a restaurant that I'm excited to try.
Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised by reality TV dating shows and TikTok for you page. And I guess also the episode about Singles Inferno. Who would have thought we would have ever talked about reality TV?
Yeah, that was so much fun. And our listeners really liked it too.
Our listeners really liked the Singles Inferno one, I must say.
Yes. I think I'm also surprised by your guide to the job hunt because, before this year, my friends would always tell me, you have to always be on the lookout for jobs and be ready to interview. And some of my friends are truly ready to interview at any time, which is wild to me because you have to have an up-to-date resume and tailor your resume to different companies and have all these stories that are practiced and polished. But girl, I went through so many interviews this year that I was able to compile a lot of advice that I had no idea about at the beginning of the year. So that is
that's some growth. Yeah, that one job acceptance doesn't tell the whole story about all the interviews that you would do and all the things you would learn. So on that note, my question for you is, what have you made progress on that to others may have seemed linear, but was actually full of ups and downs and thus something to be even prouder of because of how non-linear it was?
I'm not even going to talk about the result of the job search. I can talk about that in a separate episode, but just the freaking job search itself, the sheer volume of companies that I talked to, the diversity of companies, diversity in terms of company size, company stage, field it's focused on, whether it's healthcare or social media or like fintech. I'm just really proud that I persevered through this process and conquered my fear of interviews, conquered my fear of these companies that once seemed so scary and out of reach for me. I'm so proud that I like stood up for myself. I think I'm most proud of taking a lot of the really, really hard moments in my career and reflecting on the good that came out of it and telling a really bomb story. Like, it's so satisfying for someone to ask you a hard question about a scenario you've been in and to be like, I have the perfect story and I know I'm going to blow you away. And just to see them blown away by the end of it is so satisfying. At one point, I felt so stupid reiterating these stories that I had prepared because it's like, oh my gosh, like I still don't really have an offer that I'm that happy with. That's why I have to keep repeating these stories. But then the more that I repeated them, the more I was like, I really don't think anyone would have made the most of these difficult situations like I did. And so I'm going to feel proud and I'm going to tell this story with like a fresh energy every time I tell it.
Yeah. It can be so hard depending on what situation you're in that led you to want to go look for a new job. It could be because you got bored, you didn't really feel challenged at your job, or you weren't respected at your job. And it's really hard to really only have those negative feelings and then to be told to talk about yourself in those moments in a way that makes you look good. I think that's really difficult. So props to you for being able to spin so many stories and also practicing so much by doing so many interviews too, to get to a place where you're really comfortable and can at least now look at some silver linings from those processes.
Yeah. And there's already been really cool follow-ups from some of these interviews that I've done where people, like hiring managers, reached out to me afterwards and they were like, hey, we're sorry we couldn't give you this opportunity now because of XYZ reasons, but we want to stay in touch and we want to introduce you to all these other people. A year ago, I would have never imagined that a situation as vulnerable and high stakes as an interview would be something that I would like enjoy and have so many like good things come out of like months and months later. The confidence in telling my story and the confidence in going for a really wide variety of jobs is huge. And I can't wait to see like where this takes me.
Yay. Yay. On to the new year.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to ask you maybe a little bit more lighthearted question. What is something new that you realize brings you a lot of happiness?
My sense of smell. Let me elaborate.
What?
I guess it's not new because I've had my sense of smell my whole life. But I would say at the end of last year, I started really getting into candles. And at one point,
I had really into candles, everybody.
And then at one point, I had like 10 candles that I didn't even want to burn because I was like, I'm going to be so sad when it runs out. Eventually ran through them.
All 10?
Yeah. It's not hard if you're at home all the time working from home. Okay. And then recently, I have been really inspired by my new roommate. She loves holidays, and so she loves doing little things like in the home to make it more holiday-like. YouTuber I watch always goes to Bath and Body Works to get like the holiday scents. So I went to Bath and Body Works and I got this cute little like snowman nightlight that has like those scents that you can twist on. And so I got the winter candy apple scent, the iconic scent that I heard about from this YouTuber. Another holiday thing, I went to Century City Mall, which you've been to.
Oh, yeah.
And during the holidays, they do like this holiday market in the courtyard area. And there's this pop-up shop that the owners were Korean. So they immediately trapped me because they asked me if I spoke Korean. And they were like a diffuser shop. And so they got me to buy one of their essential oils, something I've never done. And then I was like, well, if I have essential oils, I need a diffuser. So I went to Target the next day and got a diffuser. So I've really been enjoying and indulging myself on my sense of smell and just exploring those things. I've also been really into perfumes. I've had this perfume from Jo Malone that I've just always stuck to. The English Pear and Freesia scent. That's like my scent. But I've also let myself explore some like of those samples that you can get at Sephora. And so I've discovered that I also like the Replica Lazy Sunday Mornings scent. And so I switch between those and I make sure to put them on at the end of my makeup routine, or not even when I put on makeup, just before I leave the door. And it makes me feel really, really happy that I smell good.
Oh, I look so happy right now. Okay, describe to me the Replica one, the Lazy Mornings one. What
it smells like fresh laundry. I love the smell of fresh laundry. You know, do you ever like walk in a neighborhood and you just smell fresh linen and fresh laundry and you're like, I just take the biggest breath on that walk. That's what it reminds me of. Okay, I guess on a similar light note, what's a seemingly trivial bucket list item that you finally checked off this year?
I wanted to go to visit my friends more. I had a really fun time visiting you, obviously, in LA, and also visiting Erica. I was I went to a wedding in LA and got to stay with her. Another bucket list item, which I think I mentioned in my 2021 episode, was getting better at my own makeup. Similarly for you, for perfume, for me, it's like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I cannot wait to put a little bit of glitter on my face just to look a little bit more alive.
I love glitter.
Like, I just look at these palettes. All nine colors honestly look the same, but they're just a slightly different shade of glitter.
That Jake song, it's like, she's got glitter for skin. That's you.
Next question. Is there a boundary that you have proudly set for yourself this year?
Yes. I'm very proud of this boundary. It's a digital boundary.
Oh.
So I'm proud to report that I've deleted Instagram from my phone.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
It's been since my birthday. So over a month.
Ooh.
And I've had no desire to download it to my phone.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I've been really, really good about digital boundaries on different devices. So this year I got an iPad, especially for screenwriting purposes, so I can annotate scripts and stuff. I had decided to not download any social media or any streaming video platform on there so that it could purely be just for writing and reading for fun. So I only am going to see text on this iPad. I will not use it for anything else. And that has, one, boosted my productivity, but also made me a happier person. Like, I can bring my iPad with me instead of my laptop and just know that out of sight, out of mind, notifications don't really matter. Like, communication doesn't really matter with other people. And I can really just go into my own little sanctuary for a couple hours.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so liberating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you mostly keep in touch with friends on Messenger?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild that pretty much every social media platform involves like asynchronous sharing of photo or video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a common format, but I still just go back to Messenger. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like when I'm using Instagram, I'm like, oh yeah, oh my God, I need to see my friend's stories. But when I'm not using it, I'm like, I really don't need to see anyone's story.
Definitely. Yeah. And I guess on that note too, I have opted for less video calls and more spontaneous phone calls. I guess it's not really a boundary that I'm setting for myself. It's just like a new thing I'm trying in terms of digital communication. Mm. And more often than not, people will pick up and the worst thing that happens is they're like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. I'm actually busy and I'm out right now. And it's like, oh, no worries. Like, just thanks for even picking up. Like, it's nice to hear your voice for like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
and then on the best side of things, you talk to your friend for hours. Impromptu.
Instagram, Messenger, none of these are doing it for me. I think we got to go back to the phone call age.
Mm-hmm. I wanted you to recommend some pieces of media that has inspired you this year.
I like the book you recommended, Atomic Habits. I don't think it's necessary to read through the whole thing because a lot of it is quite repetitive and examples that you could probably come up with yourself. But what I really liked about that book was how with goal setting, it's important to it's easiest to achieve goals that align with your view of yourself. And so it's important to if you want to go exercise more frequently, it's important to repeat to yourself, I am someone who cares about my health. I am someone who wants to take care of my body. I am someone who keeps promises to myself. So I really was inspired by that perspective. Another book I read that I wouldn't recommend you read, but I'll just share one highlight, is the book called 4,000 Weeks. And it's all about how people's conception of time has changed over the years and how time has become this commodity that we're saving and spending and buying with our time. And one perspective is that people often have regrets about the very few lives that they get to live. Think about the opposite. If you got to live forever and got to make every iteration of every choice ever, then your choices wouldn't have any meaning because you could experience anything at any point and you never have to choose and make a trade-off. But life is so precious and your decisions are so precious because inherently it involves choosing this over something else. So instead of seeing that as something regrettable and sad, see it as a chance to make a meaningful statement about your life and what you value.
That actually reminds me a lot of the ending to The Good Place. Can I spoil it for you?
Yeah.
People, if you haven't seen it and you're wanting to watch it, don't listen to this part of the conversation. Basically, The Good Place is all about the afterlife, and these four people have made it to The Good Place, but plot twist, end of season one, they're actually being tortured and they're in the bad place, and they're being tortured by being tricked into believing they're in The Good Place. Eventually, they make their way into The Good Place through lots of really interesting philosophical questions and debates. They make it to The Good Place and no one is happy there.
What?
And it's because they have been in The Good Place for centuries, millennia at that point, and they get anything that they want. And so in so many ways, their afterlives have lost meaning because there's nothing left for them to do. All they have to look forward to is eternity and eternity and eternity. And so they make a proposal to change The Good Place by creating an archway that you can walk through to be the end of your afterlife. But you get to choose when you get to end it. But you get to choose when you want to end it. And that ends up motivating everyone to make the most of their afterlife because it reignites a similar feeling to real life where they know life is going to end and they need to make the most out of it.
Oh my gosh. I'm legit tearing up right now. I don't even know if I'm happy or upset that you spoiled this for me because that was too good of an ending. Okay, I'm going to watch it this time later.
This reminds me of? This reminds me of Hellbound where I told you the whole thing and you were like, I have to watch it now. And I was like, I just told you the whole plot and the whole twist and everything. You're like, I have to see it for myself. Maybe that's the key. Maybe I get you to watch things by telling you that very, very ending. The ending is incredibly beautiful. And so I actually just re-binged watching it. So I highly, highly recommend.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I know what I'm
watching.
Isn't that
beautiful?
Yeah. I know what I'm watching as I'm relaxing for the holidays. It's
yes,
amazing.
Please text me. I've never wanted more of a live feedback.
Spontaneous phone call.
I have never wanted more of a spontaneous phone call in my life. I'm more excited about this than I was about you watching Avatar The Last Airbender. That says a lot.
No way.
Yes. Because this is right up your alley, Sophia. This is all about what does it mean to have been a good person?
This is the kind of stuff that if I had watched in high school, I would have been like, I'm going to be a philosopher and a monk for the rest of my life. Like, I feel like that's those kind of
stuff. Yeah, and there's a philosopher and a monk as characters in the show.
Like growing up with religion and now having different thoughts about it, I think there's been a void in my heart of like exploring these questions of like morality and goodness and virtue and stuff. So this is it. This is
I honestly think if you're thinking about that, you're gonna love this show. Oh, I'm so excited for you. There is no person out there who's watched The Good Place and has said they don't like it. It's like one of the best shows out there. And they knew in much of the, you know how there's shows that go on for seasons and seasons and seasons and they don't know how to end? The Good Place was applauded because they ended it at 4 seasons, which is considered to be really, really short for a show. And they ended it on their own accord, not because they didn't get renewed for an extra season.
I'm so excited.
I love those recommendations, though.
Yeah. Okay, another piece of media is This Is Us, which we have cried many tears over. How to describe the show? In, like, the saddest moments of my year, This Is Us and BTS and knowing that they were going to come out with new content genuinely kept me going. Like, I know that sounds kind of cheesy and kind of sad, but, like,
these are the two pieces of media. Honestly, such a big deal. Wait, that just reminded me that we did a This Is Us episode, which everyone should go check out if they haven't seen This Is Us or have watched This Is Us and want to join in on the convo. Can we do a Good Place episode?
Oh, of course.
Yes. I'm so excited.
How about you? What are some pieces of media that you were inspired by?
Yeah. So the first one is the same as you, Atomic Habits. Life-changing book, honestly. Like, I feel like there's so many good bits in there. Like, they created a whole formula called habit stacking. Like, they created so many things that are so easy to pull out of context from the book. And I think about that in so many aspects of my life of like, it forces me to think about my life in terms of systems and processes, not just goals, which I think is a lot better use of my time. Another form of media that really inspired me was from Johnny Sun's newsletter. I don't know if you have ever read it, Sophia, but it's kind of like inspired by Goodbye Again, and it's called A Small List of Knowable Things. He actually just posted his 50th post on there, and that's his last, he said that that'll be his last post. And so he just finished the newsletter. But my favorite is number 33, which is called Housemade Ryu, which is a Japanese chili oil. The subtext is on trying to hold on to things you remember. I'll just read it because it's not too long. I've been slowly savoring this jar of Ryu for the last 2 years. That's probably way too long to have kept it in my fridge for, but I didn't want to finish it because it was a gift from my favorite udon place in the world, Yumega Arukara in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I wrote about their udon and their Ryu and the experience of feeling welcome there in my book Goodbye Again, in the essay titled A Place to Visit Without Being a Visitor. And when I sent the essay to the Yumega Arukara team to ask for their permission to publish it, they sent me back a jar of their housemade Ryu accompanied with a yes. It was the greatest gift I could have ever imagined. I nurtured and savored this jar for way too long because every time I had some, it felt like a way to short-circuit a taste memory of their spicy cold Niku Udon, a dish I crave literally every day and haven't had for over 3 years now because of the pandemic. It also reminded me of the kindness of the team there and the small kindness that the existence of the place and their food provided during a particularly difficult period of my life that was brought on from living in Boston and preparing for my PhD qualifying exams at MIT. But past the 1 year mark of nurturing this jar of Ryu, which already felt way past its shelf life, its flavor started to dull, little by little, much like a memory does. I felt like it may have been better to have eaten it all earlier and to have enjoyed it when its flavor was brightest and fullest, instead of holding onto it the way I did. I am, in every element of my life, a hoarder. It's just that I had tied so much to it that I felt like I'd lose all the memories I had associated with it when I finally finished the jar. But by the time I finally had the last few scoops I was holding onto, I longed for the way it used to taste when I first got it. Now all I have left is the empty jar that had held it. but I suppose I can hold on to that at least for a little longer. One small kind way that I've been trying to think about memory is that, even as memories dull and fade, I like to imagine that you must still be left with the knowledge that you, by virtue of still being here, once held so many forgotten things within you. You become the thing that reminds yourself. Perhaps that is a hope more than it is anything else.
Oh my gosh, man, making me tear up over chili oil.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I think when I read that, I was in kind of like a dark moment of my life in this year, probably like one of the lower points of this year. And I was just so moved at how mundane chili oil is and how much meaning he has imbued into it. Really re-inspired me to look at the world more colorfully, for sure. But yeah, those were the pieces of media that inspired me most this year. And to finish off this conversation, I wanted to share an unseen victory of Sophia's that I really just want to call attention to. It's not even that it's unseen, I just really want to emphasize it. Your medical leave. Personally, I think we've had the most number of cries with each other this year. And I think that's an unseen victory of getting comfortable with those feelings and also letting ourselves be seen with those feelings as well.
I really want to shout out all the different options you explored when you wanted to make a pivot in your life, in media, options in tech. So cool and gutsy to look at all these different things, each with no guarantee, each with their own challenges, instead of just like digging yourself into one and forcing that one to work out. It's like, I'm willing to look a little bit broader and let life surprise me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then for that exploration to lead to one of the episodes that we're going to have coming up, which is a really special episode about people also going, I don't want to say back and forth, but going back and forth between different options, but now experiencing those options differently.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess that's an example of, again, a lot of things behind the scenes that have happened that are hard to encapsulate in like a LinkedIn update or a Facebook update. And it's really precious that we get to share a lot of those nuances on the podcast and with each other. That's something I'm really, really grateful that we can keep doing even at the end of year four of podcasting of Bamboo and Glass.
I'm excited to put 2022 behind me, but also excited to take the good parts of it that are going to carry me forward.
Do you have a word for 2023?
Do you want to go first? I can't really think of one.
Fun. I want to have fun. I want to even experience those challenges as fun. Like, I want to be able to have that experience you had of rehashing really difficult experiences into stories that you can be really proud of, but be able to see that in the moment. See the fun, see the adventure, like as if I'm watching Percy Jackson go through some shit and I'm like, but he's going to make it out at the end because he's amazing and he's the best person that for the job anyway.
Yeah. The first word that came to mind for me was culmination. I think there are a lot of things that I worked for in 2022 that are culminate and will be visible in 2023. But also kind of tying it back to challenges that we will face. You know, instead of seeing challenges as new threatening things, to see challenges as things that I can connect my past to and to be like, oh, you know, there are a lot of things I've experienced that will culminate in my ability to solve this problem.
I love it. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed the questions we asked each other. We'll probably post these on our Instagram so you can see the text itself in case you want to reflect on your own time, or feel free to share these prompts with a friend and reflect on them together. Maybe even shoot your friend a message and tell them about an unseen victory of theirs that you're really excited about and really proud of them for. Let them also know that we're on every podcasting platform. And if you have been enjoying our content, especially in the last year, we would love your support, whether that's by reading and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or reaching out to us over email at bambooandglass@gmail.com for any opportunities to collaborate. We would love to have a chance to share more of these stories with folks. And so you can share the episode and also consider some in-person events with us too in the new year. We are widely open for 2023 and we're really excited. So I hope you all have a great rest of your holiday season and we'll talk to you in the new year. Bye.